Equine Business Program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm talking people about the same old game. They're running them numbers and the winners have a shame. The dice is loaded and the deck is stacked. The game itself will hold you back. Check out your mind and don't be blind to the numbers.
We're back. We had a little, kept talking with Jill and with John, and I just got to be really excited for them and for the region. You know, and one of the portions of the discussion that we just actually included, and I didn't bring it up with them live, but this gets to the heart of the people that. That say there's enough racing and there's enough, there's already not enough horses to go around, etc. The problem is, on that topic, if you don't have racing in the Boston area, in New England, and you don't have live racing from, basically Delaware, Maryland, all the way down to essentially to Tampa. If a place like Fairmont Park went away, Michigan, without right this minute a live racing, you need a live racing product for people to see. And granted, a lot of us. The first racing we saw was probably on television. It was probably a Derby, a Triple Crown event, etc. But and that's okay. And there's I read plenty of stories from people that talk about that's how they got interested. But who is it? I think is it Caleb? Was it Caleb Keller? There's somebody I think on TVG who one of the young contest players whose first exposure to racing was spinning the dial one night and stumbling into TVG. And that was the first introduction. And it got hooked and got interested that way. So, yeah, that could work. But there's no better way to get people interested, in the game from whatever angle they're going to come in. As players, as casual fans, whatever the introduction is, as live racing, this is the same discussion that you have about the minor league baseball system, and there's plenty of people who probably can't even really afford, except on rare occasions, to go to major league baseball games, but. They can go to minor league games cost effectively, and that's a taste. That's an atmosphere. It's the same here. And for those that talk about the C tracks, people that are seeing the game for the first time, they can't distinguish between the Breeders' Cup Classic and 10 Claimers. An exciting finish with lower level horses is just as exciting as any of the biggest grade ones that we run. So having live racing dotting the landscape is vital. I absolutely challenge on this topic. The people that say, "Well, we don't need those C tracks. They all they do is what are they providing? It's not you know, it's not aesthetic. It's not. You're wrong. The people, there's countless players that are involved that got their introduction to racing at that level, and you know, have gone from there. So, as to I talked to, for those of you that were wondering, I tried to press Jill a little bit, Jill Verne, on the takeout question at Colonial, and Jill explained to me why she didn't have the ready answer. Not that she didn't have a ready answer; she didn't want to get into a cumbersome answer. The legislature in Virginia, the bicameral house that they have, they have a statutes on takeout, so they're going to basically inherit an existing takeout structure, and then they're going to try. They'll have to go to the legislature in the same thing New York has had to deal with for years to get the takeout trimmed as best they can, and they don't seem odious. They seem pretty typical. I think Jill thinks it was 18%. On the whips and about somewhere between 20 and 22 on the multi-horse wagers. So they're starting at a fairly, you know, fairly typical number. Jill said they'd love to get, you know, the whips down to lower levels and, you know, be aggressive as they can. And they will get to introduce new wagers. So, for instance, there was no pick five years ago. So they'll get to pitch a pick five to the legislature, and there they can introduce a lower takeout. So Jill didn't want anybody to think that, you know, that she was avoiding the takeout question. Going to swing across to Cheltenham and catch up with Pete. And we did this last year. It was a lot of fun. We did it earlier on the card, so there's a chance that Pete is drunker than he was last year at this time. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning to you. Well, you know, I'm in training now, Steve. So
that's right.
I limited myself to two beers in the Arkell Bar. My friend, the great racing pundit Rory DeLargy, texted me about meeting there, and autocorrect got him. So the Arkell Bar became the Ankle Bar. So that may be its new name. But I'm mostly behaving myself during the day, trying to save a little for the evening, and working. I'm calling you from the media center. Busy working on some In the Money Players podcast business, and of course watching and betting the races, and really excited for what's coming up next year from a sporting point of view. This is about the thing that I'm the most excited about, seeing the great Alpior bid for yet another champion chase.
Give us a snapshot from this morning already, and I haven't kept close tabs getting started here at the HBPA convention, and they've run three. What have we missed?
City Island won the opener in a race that looked like Champ, named after Tony McCoy, was going to win coming to the last fence. Would have been a very popular result. City Island ends up getting the job done. And then we had Top of the Game with just a great, great race in the Oracle, where the top three in the market all really fired and had big chances as they turned for home. Delta Work, Santini, and Top of the Game. And then I wasn't paying nearly as much attention in the last race, but our winner, it looks like we had a big price winner there, a bit of a surprise. I believe it was William Henry who got the job done at a big number, over 40-1. Yesterday was a day of upsets and surprises as well. We'll see. It remains to be seen which direction today's going to go. As a huge Alpior fan, I'm hoping things are going to get very formful very fast here at Cheltenham on day two.
Well, that price, Nicky Henderson sending out that winner then at 40-1.
It's amazing here. You see, I mean, not unlike the States, but more so when you have these ginormous fields of horses that you can still see top connections pay some big dividends. This is another one of those places, like we always talk about Ascot, that really, I think, should be on any proper racing fan's bucket list. Obviously, much more foreign to us with the jump racing than Ascot and the flat. But if you really love racing, it's worth coming here and checking it out. The combination of racing as gambling game, social endeavor, and most importantly, sport is just really striking and exciting. And I think more Americans would appreciate it than, like, I think there's a lot of people listening to this right now who wouldn't understand just how much they'd enjoy this to be here on this hallowed ground. And they've done a really good job in the 15 years I've been coming here, a little more now, believe it or not, of making it all the more fan-friendly and just a great experience for race-goers. It's really, it's unlike anything else, and it's something folks should really be considering getting to as time marches on and they look to have racing experiences crossed off their list. Cheltenham should be on the list.
Well, you're looking at, I'm just looking up at the clock, and we've got the Queen Mother, and looking at, well, you got good, you got plenty of time, not till the bottom of the hour. Does the fourth, and the numbers aren't up officially yet, so we don't have prices, but Altior, as you mentioned, Nikki Henderson goes from an $80 winner to potentially a you know, a $3 winner.
$240. It could be on the toad, especially. I could see there being some serious exuberance, and with good reason. When you're winning 18 in a row and looking for your fourth winner at the 4 years in a row winning at the festival, that's another thing that's great that I think American fans would really appreciate here. The fact that you get to see some of these stars year in, year out. That's something that folks in USA Racing are always saying that they want to see. It's something that you get to see on the National Hunt stage. It's the great pundit walks by me here. What's going on, man? I'm on the air back in America. I've got Kevin Blake here with me. You having a good day?
Yeah.
Still grinding away, picking winners for the people working in all manner of media. But yeah, it's very exciting stuff, Steve. And you get to enjoy racing in a whole new level here at Cheltenham.
Well, and Pete, you, as you mentioned about being in training, I saw that you were exhorting some more to people to climb aboard the big run.
Absolutely, I have. We've filled the charity sponsor, my original charity sponsor, Make-A-Wish UK. We have met and exceeded the goal, and I'm now encouraging people to get on board with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. We've got a link there, trfinc.org/players. And I'll make the same offer. If you guess my time correctly, you will win a fabulous prize package. Depending on who you are, where you live, we'll determine what that is. It could be a package of books. It could be some bottles of alcoholic beverages to make cocktails. It could be, if you're in the Saratoga or Brooklyn area or any of the places in my travels, I'll come to your house and cook dinner for you. Guess my time for the half marathon. Make a donation to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. The race is on the 24th. My training run today, I felt good. The clockers were pleased with my effort. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to run a big one on the 24th for Make-A-Wish UK and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. That link,
very
again,
cool.
I'll say it cleanly one time. trfinc.org/players.
Excellent. And we'll keep reminding everybody in advance of the run, and it's really an undertaking. And you what are you down to? Are you still shedding stone?
I've stabilized at about 190, which I think is right. I think this is a good fighting weight for me. Probably my doctor would want me to go a little bit longer, but that would probably involve giving up beer entirely, and that may be a bridge too far.
I love it. Pete, let's also get in a couple of notes from the past weekend, and I've been waiting for you to visit to give everybody the Gotham Challenge results and the contest for those. I should put the link out now that we're going to discuss it, but some names that we're certainly very familiar with. Emily Kirilou from Jersey City, and she won. I mean, she crushed that Gotham Challenge, doubling the second place number. She bankrolled over $10,000, plus she got another $12,700, and she actually took a seat in the Belmont Challenge as her prize. She could have taken that or the NHC seats.
That's very, very cool. And I haven't ever formally interviewed Emily, but I believe she has some connections in the poker world, And I'm that. I don't know. You start winning these contests. Emily, you can't avoid me forever. We're gonna have to do a proper sit down interview at some point. But that's a great performance and a name that's been on the scene for the last few years, and a great result, an impressive performance, really, to come back with that kind of bankroll when you're starting at such a modest level to run it up like that shows that there's some real skill on display.
Well, and I can't miss an opportunity to talk about Gumpster Stable himself, Andy Berg, second. Andy bankrolled another 5,100 and then got 6,188 in prize money. He gets his first probably of two seats for NHC next year. And anybody that knows Andy, anybody that's around Belmont and around the New York racing scene, not just in New York, but the Gumpster Stable name, and Andy and his brother Bruce, just avid players and owners and contest side, and I reached out to Andy while I was, where was I? I guess I was in Ocala at that point, and Andy said he was stunned by Emily's performance, that he said she just crushed us. She crushed everybody. And then Bill Smith from Reisterstown, Maryland, you know, just away from, just down from Park Heights and from Pimlico, he was third. So Andy Berg and Bill Smith take the two NHC seats at the Gotham Challenge. That was the result. And I don't know if you saw, Pete, how many players participated, but utilizing Naira Betts for the first time, people, you know, anybody that was a Naira Betts user could play in this Gotham Challenge. They had 101 more players this year than last. They had a mammoth 224 players.
Wow, that's fantastic. I hadn't heard that. That also maybe explains why the top of the market, why those scores were as strong as they were. You get that many entries. It's the wave of the future. Being able to incorporate an online element is great. I know there are some old-school players who don't love it in the sense that going to the tournaments is such a part of the fun, but I think this is a case where you just have to try to have your cake and eat it too, and you always have the option of going and enjoying the camaraderie and the experience. But for so many of us on these Saturdays, you can't always get out to the track to still be able to play and bet those golden dollars or close to golden dollars on the ADW side and help the local horsemen in racing and make it so much easier to participate. This is the way it's going to be, and I certainly don't want it to kill live events, and I'd stop short of ever wanting to see the live, you know, I want to see good hospitality and a good setup so that the culture of live contests, in-person contests, brick and mortar, whatever you want to call them, continues. But this ability to just blow it out and include so many more people is, to me, undoubtedly a good thing. And as for the Berg brothers, I've only ever interviewed them, like, in passing. And I need a proper sit-down. My 5-minute interview ahead of UNHC was pretty entertaining. And I'm hoping to steal some more time with them soon and hoping to continue working for Naira, helping them promote and cover these contests. I need to I've been previewing stuff for them. I should have tried to throw my hat in the ring to write the review contest on this one. It sounds like there were some great stories to come out of there, and I'm sure there'll be more in just a few weeks' time at the Wood Memorial Challenge. And I bet participation tends to fuel participation. I bet they're going to really knock it out that day, Steve.
Well, and Pete, before we let you enjoy the rest of the day, any other Cheltenham pushes for people? Is there anything the rest of the card after?
Did I lose your fever? You still connected there?
No, I'm here. I got you. I hear you. I can hear you. No, I guess that was, well, Pete was on Skype, so I guess maybe it's fortunate that we didn't get. There he is. There he's back. No, we didn't. We didn't. That case. Did you lose him or for good? I think so. All right. Well, we're going to we thank Pete and taking a step away from Cheltenham. We'll take a quick timeout here too, and we're going to come back reach out to Mary Rampolini, and we'll see what we can get from Mary regarding the Rebel Field and how it's coming together potentially for the two. She tweeted earlier a little DRF live note that they were up to 16 entries, and so they were getting close. We'll take maybe hold it. Casey, you're reaching out to me, so maybe he's already got Mary and will stay if that's the case. And Pete called back too. All right. If you want it, all right. And you've got Mary too. All right. Pete hung up. Okay. Cause thanks, Case. Then I'll go right to Mary Rampolini while we have her. I don't want to take away from a busy morning. And of course, entry day, the Rebel card on Saturday. Mary, thanks for the quick update. I saw your DRF live note. Where do things stand about splitting this Rebel?
Yeah, hi, Steve. As of, let's see, at 9 a.m. Central Time, my time, there were 16 head, and I just made another call and talked to the race novice around 9:50, and it remained at 16 head. And, of course, Oaklawn has committed to splitting the race if there are 20 or more entrants, and that way it would be $750,000 each division. Otherwise, it's a $1 million race if it's just, you know, a single Rebel, as funny as that sounds.
Well, and Mary, this is getting, you know, kind of harrowing because, not only would it be a 14-horse field if there's only one running, if you've already got 16, there's going to be two potentially disappointed parties. And how would they, I mean, if it only has one running, how did they, I forget what the preference is for horses. What's the order?
I don't have that right in front of me, but typically I would expect it might be an earnings preference at this stage. I don't know that there's a graded or a stakes preference, but I don't have that in front of me right now, Steve. That's a good question. I will say one thing that's nice that's in place, and whether or not they're eligible, I don't know, but if there were a case where a horse would get bumped, Oaklawn has inflated its allowance and maiden special weights for three-year-olds for the Saturday card. So there's a couple of $93,000 offerings or so for a three-year-old route type of horse, if that were to be a scenario.
Well,
and if they fit those conditions.
Some of the other than the obvious names that that we fully expected, the Baffert and the Mandela and the Hollendorfer runners, Keith DeSormo. Give us the players that of the 16.
I don't have specific names from the racing office.
They didn't. Okay.
Those entries aren't closed, but I can only tell you from my reporting. For example, on a local standpoint, because you mentioned the shippers. Steve Asmussen, when I last talked to him, had definite three head he was planning. It could be more, but he had definite three head. And Mark Cassie is bringing a horse in from Florida that got in yesterday.
Sir Winston.
And so those are coming some of the locals, yeah.
We talked about
it. And I consider that horse a local because Kathy has a division here.
Absolutely. It would certainly count as such. I'm going to quickly pull up my list from the other day. And we were lucky enough to talk to a few of the players involved. And, for instance, Ron Moquette, Frosted Ice had shown up on a list or two, and he actually never was even nominated. So Ron wasn't ever going to be involved, so that took a name off. Todd Pletcher had a to be announced. Did we ever hear more whether Pletcher was actually sending somebody?
I know he had two horses shipping yesterday, and one is a three-year-old, one is a four-year-old, and so I don't know if one of those is intended for the Rebel or not.
All right. Well, the Asmussens that had been planning were Laughing Fox, Long Range Toddy, and Jersey Agenda. And then we were also keeping an eye on both Captain Von Trapp, who seemingly ran a little too recently to enter back. And there was also Comedian that had been originally rumored, but now looks like he's headed elsewhere. So we'll keep watching. And keep the Sormo. He was at Ocala, and I only saw him a second on Monday, but you know, he had both the Easy Shot and potentially Sueno. So there certainly were enough names kicking around to fill this out. I said Sir Winston about Cassie. It's our brain trust that is the Cassie that's coming to town. Is Holtis still going forward with Six Shooter? Do we know?
You know, he was always keeping the option open. He wasn't going to close that option. He is looking at the gazebo, a sprint race for the horse that might set him up for that Oaklawn Invitational later in the meet. So that's kind of what Paul had going on when I last talked to him. Wasn't opposed to the Rebel, was watching the field, but could sprint this horse back to set him up for stretching back out late in the meet.
Well, then feels like Six Shooter won't be a part. Parsimony for Doug O'Neill was a late addition, and that, I think, sort of helped things. Lucas is still involved with one or another, Market King or another horse?
When I last talked to him, Market King was intended for the Rebel, and then Doug O'Neill did say Friday that Parsimony, I can't say that. That's why I write and I don't speak. but he was intended as well. So yes, those two horses, as of my last conversations with those trainers, that was the case.
Well, this feels pretty iffy right now, Mary, based on all of this.
It's nerve-wracking, huh?
Yeah. I just feel bad. I mean, it's got to be disappointing if it doesn't come off with a second division. It's going to be brutal, basically. I mean, because you've got with the San Felipe being washed away, under the difficulties at Santa Anita, people only get one shot at this carousel, that's what makes it a frustrating scenario. How about how do we shape up for the Azari and the rest of the card? This is always a great day, and Oaklawn's got the focus no matter whether there's one Rebel or two. Everybody else has got kind of a quiet weekend.
Well, the good thing is we're on Central Time, so we still got some time for the for the Rebels to come together, and certainly the track is hopeful to see it split. They'd like to see that split in their sportsmanship. The Azari and Essex, as you mentioned, they're coming together very nicely. A late arrived yesterday around noon, and Bill Mott has confirmed her for the Azari with her rivals to likely include Midnight the Sioux, Eskimo Kisses, and also, Champion Shamrock Rose. Really a deep race there, almost Apple Blossom standards with the number of Grade 1 winners in that spot. And the Essex Handicap, Great Expectations is scheduled to fly in today. The California horses fly in today for trainer Peter Urton. He said he was going in that spot. So he will most likely be the starting highweight in the Essex.
Well, the New York bred, the well-traveled New York bred, Great Expectations. We saw Peter Urton at Ocala as well. Mary, we'll be watching your reporting. We'll keep an eye on your Twitter feed and DRF Live, because I'm sure that you and Jennifer Hoyt will be, and Nancy Holtis as well. We'll get everybody informed as soon as they know.
We'll know everything in a few hours, Steve.
Mary, I appreciate it. We'll touch base on Friday with some picks.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon, Steve. Thank you.
You got it. DRF Rampolini. And I'm going through my list, and I get the 16. Just looking at this based on what we know and who's crossed off, Game Winner Improbable, Galilean Gunmetal, Gray, so four, Baffert and Hollendorfer, Mandela's Pair, Omaha Beach and Extra Hope, Parsimony from O'Neill, Easy Shot for DeSormo, and then the three Asmussens. That gets you to 11 right there. And then some of the individual plays, our Brain Trust, Lucas, Market King, McPeak, Lemniscate, Dallas Stewart with Classy John, Todd Pletcher, And I don't know what Silva, if Sleepy Eyes Todd is involved or not. Without him, it's 16. So he potentially could be 17. And the other two Asmussens I just mentioned, Captain Von Trapp, he just ran 10 days ago, give or take. Sueno, DeSormo, I think we would know officially if he had made the plane. So this seems a little less likely than more likely for a pair of 10-horse rebels. Let's take a timeout, and we'll come back. I know we got to get to what day is it? Wednesday. So we got to grab Seth, and everybody's in the keynote session right now. So we'll close out the morning with some of our regular conversationalists. We're live at Clearwater Beach at the Sheraton Sand Key and the HBPA, the National Convention. I've got a session later this afternoon. More of the data discussion. Looking forward to that. And then I got to be honest. Tonight, I've got to figure out where I guess I can watch online, but the Colgate Raider Round Ball squad plays for the Patriot League title and a slot in the tournament. And they've been super entertaining. On Sunday, the win over Navy, and they are now they're on an 11 game win streak. They've got as good a team as they had years ago when O'Donnell Foyle led them to the tournament a couple of times. This is a much better rounded team. They've got a more complete team. It's the best Colgate basketball team in a long time. And we may go back to Ernie Vandeweghe. Kiki's father. That's how long. I mean, it's the longest win streak in over 90 years that they've had. So we're kind of excited about tonight's game. Best of luck to Matt Lengel and his squad. And apparently, there's a kid that's sitting out a transfer year, a kid from Bowling Green, that'll be added to that team next year. They should be even better next year. Kind of cool. Since the hockey team limped along. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? then Grisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The Grisnet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at Grisnet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at Grisnet.com/APR. The Grisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit Grisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Grisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit Grisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Grisnet.com.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, and I just, Casey, reaching out a couple of spots, and I just want to, while we do that, and until we get a visit locked in here, I wanted to mention, I don't know if you saw this from Marty McGee, where's my nice stack of this week's racing? It's a fairly quiet week. Oh, for goodness sakes, this drives me nuts. Put that off to the side. The return of International Star. You're saying, what do you mean? Wait a minute. The horse that scratched from the Derby and has got to be a bunch of years old. Yes. It's really pretty remarkable, and we still can't find it. So I'm going to have to guess. Here we go. There's a few other pieces of news that in the crush of Monday, Tuesday, we didn't get to, including the Super Saturday results. I'll save that for Dick Powell. We'll let Dick Powell handle that tomorrow, so I don't need to give you that. And Mike Willman is going to join us from Santa Anita and give us the latest update and how it's gone this morning with the new protocols, the system that has been instituted for horsemen, and they'll adjust to it. The horsemen adjust to everything. They, you know, that they're professionals, and they know what's at stake here. Obviously, here we go. Finally, my God! Tomorrow at I think it's tomorrow at Gulfstream. And it's not an easy spot either. He runs into a nice Chad Brown player. The ninth race, 5:17 tomorrow, and it's an optional claimer. And Ticonderoga in the spot, but International Star. It'll be interesting to read Mike Welch's report about how he's prepared for this. I mean, to come off this kind of layoff, and Mike Maker, who is very good off the layoff too, and no doubt about that. But this is a big and protracted. Best of luck, international star. A quick survey of some other racing here the next couple of days while we've got a minute. And Gulfstream today, a little quiet. There's a nominal feature later. Fairgrounds runs today. They've got a nice first level allowance going as the eighth. How about Brad Cox, Limnery, and Steve Asmussen with a pair, actually, War Film and War Treaty, both involved there. And Moon Launch, the Pocket Aces, big price winner on Risen Star Day for Steve Margolis. He comes back in this spot, this mile and a 16th turf spot. Our friend and partner, Dave Brown, who's in on Kid Chocolate with us, he's got a piece of Moon Launch. So good luck, Dave, with him coming back. And since this came up, I'll mention that yesterday I put a thing on Facebook, the fact that they were selling horses at the Ocala sale, it's very hard not to be interested and get involved, and I did. In fact, with our friend Aaron Yagoda, Aaron had a second horse that Pat Hoppel had been prepared for the sale, and he was a big chestnut colt by Datalink, and really distinctive looking, and I kind of took a shine to him, and we were talking about him, and started to basically inquire, watched his breeze, and he went 10-3, went kind of easy, a big horse, and it doesn't look like the type of horse that was going to be zippy on the poly, or certainly for an eighth of a mile, and so we're going to do something together on this data link, and we're going to geld him right away this week, and then he'll go to Chuck Simon. We've got some friends down in South Florida, the Caprio brothers, speaking of Colgate, Joe Caprio and his brother Michael, they've wanted a horse, and also our friend Tony Montanino, Tony and his dad's down there, and Tony's been saying, how about a horse for Florida? We've got all the nice New York breds, and we have fun back home in New York, but they've wanted a horse to campaign in Florida, and certainly happy to get a horse in Chuck's hands. And so this Datalink chestnut, we're gonna go on. So I don't think I've ever had a 2-year-old get ready to go to the racetrack this early. I only bought those three last year in June, and they made debuts and things, but they were not early horses. So it's kind of cool to have a horse this early in the 2-year-old season. And serious 2-year-old racing won't start for probably 90 to 100 plus days, June, July. But we got one. So I thank Aaron too, and Pat Hoppel, and I just got a text, somebody asking, is there room? There may be room for some people to come in. When I get home next week, I'll do all that kind of stuff. But I'm kind of excited. I'll put up a picture of him. He's a big horse. He's a big, big horse. So, when we talk to Aaron, because I do want Aaron to visit, he promised that if his other horse sold well, and he certainly did at $550,000, Aaron said, "I'll come on if we do okay." I think he did okay. to say the least. So we'll get Aaron too. Casey's got sort of has Seth Merrill, but we can hear Seth, and Seth can't hear us apparently. So I don't Case, have him call the 800. Have him call the 855. All right. And I guess the other option, if that does not work with him, Mike Willman is expecting our call too. So you could always just swing over to Mike Willman. Okay, that's another option. All right. So you know we'll do. Let's take the break here. Take the last break. Perfect opportunity. We'll take the last break of the morning from Clearwater, and we'll come back and maybe Seth, but certainly Mike Willman is going to join us from Santa Anita, and we'll see how this morning went. Certainly feels like we're right on the cusp of some normalcy returning for everybody in Southern California. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Minutes to the top of the hour, and I did go to the condition book for Oaklawn Park, and they basically run the Rebel. And, of course, this gets back to that topic that we discussed with Rick Hammerly about the weight conditions and, you know, the way in which the prep season are sometimes run. A lot of these are run under allowance conditions, and that's what this is. And so the way in which they're going to provide order of preference, if we end up with an overflow of 14 for just one running, and right now Mary Rampolini minutes ago giving you the number 16 currently, but in allowance stakes, starting preference will be given to horses that have accumulated the highest earnings. So it's simply an earnings pecking order, and you know that. I'll pull up the nominations, although there were some horses, of course, that were added to the nominations late, basically. They extended the one-day nomination process particularly for the California horses, but bringing up the PPs to look at this, of the ones we know that are involved. And, Captain, by the way, Captain Von Trapp, that allowance win came on March 2nd. So it would be an aggressive two-week turnaround. Dallas Stewart's horse has earned $191,000. And swinging down a little further, how about Easy Shot? 55.8, Extra Hope 128,000, so would be in no jeopardy of getting in. 261,000 for Galilean. 1,496 for Game Winner. He's safe if he wants to participate. Yeah, exactly. He's going to participate. 247,000 Gunmetal Gray. Improbable, 269,000. Jersey Agenda, 120,000. Laughing Fox, 105,000. Lemniscate, 41,000. So he would be low horse right now. Long Range Toddy, 400,000 in earnings. That Market King, who was third in the allowance for Lucas, if Lucas is going to try him, 70,000 for him. So he right now would be able to get in. And then a little further, these are, by the way, for those of you that ever want or are curious for horses that, you know, maybe have been away for 3 weeks or so, and you want to see their current PPs, go to these nominations. Go to Equibase and under stakes nominations, go to where you're confident the horse you're interested in is running, and you've got not just the horse maybe you're looking for, but you've got all these other three-year-olds, and not just limited to three-year-olds. It's any of the stakes nomination process. Omaha Beach has got 71,800 in earnings. Our Brain Trust, 196. Parsimony, 53. So he would be near the bottom as well for earnings. And Sleepy Eye Todd, if Miguel Silva does want to participate, you know, second to Laughing Fox in February, he's got just 26,000. So he would be in trouble, obviously. He would be at the bottom. Sueno's earned 190. And that gets us down toward the bottom. So that's as many of the ones that I can tell you about that are available. So we'll see what they end up doing in here. All right. Well, Casey, I guess has got something is amiss. Huh. So, okay, all right. So Casey's on the phone side. There's nobody. Nobody can hear Casey. All right. That's not what we were looking for. All right. So be it. I can't tell you much more, really, about the situation at the Rebel. We'll just wait for Mary Rampolini to give us the report. But that's your answer on the earnings. And I do have a sense that they're going to fall short of the desired, the potential 20. All right. Well, since we're not going to be able to bring you, I guess we won't be able to bring you Mike Willman either. So I'll do that. We'll do that tomorrow after Case figures things out. Let me go back to some of the action that we didn't discuss up till now. How about the action at Turfway? Because we only mentioned the win by Some Like It Hot Brown, and he's just dominated this sequence. The big brown colt, Mike Maker and Sky High and partners Sand Dollar. So he's in good shape. He's got a nice position to add a few more points. Given his resume at this point, if he can make it on dirt, I think it's unfair to judge him on his debut when he showed up on Sealed Slop at Saratoga, off the turf race, and that's not a fair assessment. He's by Big Brown out of a Tappet mare. We'll leave it in Mike Maker's capable hands. It was a good Saturday for Maker, between Some Like It Hot Brown and Duchere at for the Wyckoffs in New York. Tyler Gaffleone off by three lengths. Dynamic Racer, Ron Kales and Dale Roman's third with Moonster. So that was your Jeff Ruby. In addition, Naughty Joker wins the Bourbonette Oaks. Rafael Bayerano, how about that? The return to the stomping ground. The Ramses with this homebred Into Mischief. And this filly, well bet. She was a clear favorite, 2-1. And looking at what she had done, coming into this, the maiden win in November at the end of the Churchill meet during the 2-year-old weekend, and she really had done very little wrong for Wesley Ward. It was second in her debut. This was that filly that ran against the boys in the Spendthrift, and her stablemate Dumpf beat her, and Dumpf drummed that field. But Naughty Joker, nice performance here, and good to see Rafael Bayerano back in Kentucky, right where it all started. The Kentucky Cup Classic, Cipriano Contreras with the Candy Ride Gelding, the 7-year-old, nonetheless, that they claimed from Chris Block back in June of last year, and has been very solid. Now 7 and really 400,000 in earnings coming into the Kentucky Cup Classic. And again, a resounding winner, wins by a length, and did it with authority too. Went off as the just under 5-2 favorite, and this field included some familiar names, actually. Sniper Kitten and Surgical Strike, Sir Dudley Diggs too, and Royal Sun and more. So this was a pretty nice group, and I'm pretty sure that nonetheless, I think got a big fig here for this race, if I'm not mistaken. High 90s, I believe. You also had that was up one of the early maiden races. Where is the Rushaway? How about on the way to Neverland? Also for Wesley, his ice wine stable, even money. And this one was never in doubt, more or less. Wesley with a good day. And you know, that card, top to bottom, I didn't see a handle number. But you know, this was all maiden races, maiden specials. And there was an allowance in here that Jeff Greenhill won with an awesome, again, gelding. Truth be told, T-O-L-L-E-D. Couple of first-time starters won the maiden races. How about Robert Radcliffe with Mr. Blue Sky? Congratulations there. And first-time starter Fort Ramsey for the Ramseys and Mike Baker as well. Mentioned the allowance. There was also Yield, a first-time starter for Bill Connolly and Schwann Place, homebred of theirs, Across Traffic Filly. Ted Lucas, a winner in an allowance with Dylan Did It for Dana Holt. And then how about Hawaiian Noises, too? Bayerano and Wesley combining in the Animal Kingdom. And then the last stake, the Latonia Princess Warrior, the four-year-old midshipman filly for McPeak and the Tromers. One with B.J. Hernandez. They had that was a really, really nice card that Tyler Picklesheimer put together. Nice day. Mike Willman just reached out. And I'm just asking him a question. We'll get a quick answer in written form as we also want to catch up on Imprimis Gulfstream for Joe Orsino, and what a performance this was over Vision Perfect and Pay Any Price. Imprimis, a horse you remember that we talked about with Joe going back early last year, and looked like a really nice horse, and then has had, you know, is one of these horses that may be too fast for his own good. Imprimis, if he's going to be this healthy, he's going to be a major force on the turf sprint side. We'll see if maybe Joe, we'll catch up with Joe and see what the plan is. We'll reach out next week and see if something like the Jaipur might enter into his agenda. Todd Pletcher, who owes us a visit, Bordolazzo, they had that promo code. Didn't get a big fig, but certainly, you know, won like a nice horse going 7/8. This is another Union Rags. The Union Rags are coming out of the woodwork. And promo code, watch for this one. We'll see when he runs back. But I thought that was, I think, only a 70-something, a low 70 buyer. But one of these visually, we keep hearing that. Is that a code for... Is that a code for look good, but might not be much, you know, going forward? Take it for what it is. There was also on Sunday another Pletcher firster. How about Largent? Is this for Steve Largent? Maybe a Virginia bred from Lazy Lane and Twin Creeks. I saw Randy Goulat yesterday at the sale, and never got a chance to talk to Aaron Wellman. But this is a horse that they bought together, and an Into Mischief debuting on the grass, and also won like a nice horse on Sunday. All firsters, interesting, all firsters in the Superfecta. And Stanley Huff had one for Nexus and Sagamore. The Rock Says ran very well at 7-1, and there was also Dale Romans with a 40-1 first-time starter who ran a nice race, came from way, way back. And there were a couple of horses running late that weren't going to get to the winners. But this may be a decent race on the turf front. So there was your Gulfstream action. And the most notable, and there was, you know, I've got a growing stack of charts to discuss with Todd Pletcher, I would imagine next week. So we apologize for these last little difficulty here. This last 20 plus minutes, Casey thinks Comcast is the culprit, and we'll figure it out for tomorrow. Send you out into the race day, and things picking up a little bit today. Of course, yesterday we only had a couple of options, but today with the addition of Tampa and of Santa Anita, you have to wait till next Friday for Santa Anita, but the addition of Gulfstream and Fairgrounds. So a little bit, there's some racing today if you're looking to play, and I'll run you down the rest beside Fairgrounds, Tampa, Gulfstream, Louisiana Downs, Mahoning Valley, Charleston, Sam Houston, and Turf Paradise. And, of course, more action yet. Another three from Cheltenham yet today. And I'm just looking at this. I've got to pull this up because for the first time in my memory, I see Hippodrome de Montréal in the listings, and I've got to research this because I wasn't aware that they were running at all. How funny is this? And I don't know if this is just like an exhibition of some kind for simulcast purposes. I don't know. Oh, I got to find this makes me smile. Hippodrome de Montréal. We'll see what's going on there. Entries for Wednesday. How about this? All right. I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. Too funny. I want to thank Eric Hamelbeck and the HBPA, and of course, really nice to spend a couple minutes with Jill Byrne and John Marshall for Colonial and their reboot. And also Pete from Cheltenham, and Sid and Francis Karen from Ocala. And you know, I turned on the sale for 2 seconds, and I saw HIP 325 go for $850,000. How about that? And a quick glance at the catalog. Let's see who it was. One of the day's early big prices, a Palace Malice. And who was it that liked the Palace Malices? This was a Pick View consigned colt out of a More Than Ready mare. $850. Enjoy the day, everybody. Good luck if you're playing. HRRN coverage this afternoon. And we'll talk to you from Clearwater tomorrow, the HBPA convention. Have a good day.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.